السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We moving on now to the next delegation that had come, the delegation of the Banu Hanifa. Now, as we mentioned, all this took place in 9 AH, 9th year after Hijra. So this delegation had come to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you must have heard this name before, Musaylama Kazzab. He was also from the same tribe, Musaylama Kazzab. However, due to his haughtiness, his pride, etc., he didn't come to meet Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although he came, but he didn't come to meet Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself went to go and meet this Musaylama. He went with another sahabi by the name of Sabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas radiyallahu ta'ala, and he went with him to go and meet Musaylama. So this Musaylama, he said to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if you give me khilafat, you make me your deputy after you, then I'm prepared to take allegiance to you. Only if you give me khilafat, you make me your deputy, then I'm prepared to take allegiance to you. So at this time when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking to him, so Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a branch of the of a date palm in his Mubarak hand. So he pointed at this branch and he said, I won't even give you this. You're asking for khilafat and becoming my deputy. You're not even fit to get this date branch. But you're asking for those things. And Nabi Sassan told him, even if you have to ask me for this branch, I won't even give you this. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, you will never be able to turn away from what Allah Ta'ala has destined for you. It is probably you, Nabi Sassan told him, it is probably you that I have been shown in my dream. I was shown two people in my dream, and probably you are the one of them that I have seen in my dream. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then pointed to Hazrat Thabit ibn Qais radiallahu ta'ala and he said that he will reply to you. He'll give you jawab. For whatever you're asking, he'll give you jawab. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went away from here. Went away from this Musaylama. When Musaylama returned, when he went back home, he claimed prophethood. He claimed prophethood and he started a whole fitna, which we will discuss, inshallah. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says, I asked Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala as to what dream Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown. Nabi sallallahu spoke about this dream. What dream did he see? So Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala replied that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw a dream that two gold bangles were placed in my hands. Two gold bangles were placed in my hands and I was asked to blow on them. On blowing on them, they flew away. Both these bangles flew away. The interpretation of this is that there will be two imposters. Two imposters who will claim prophethood. In the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there will be two imposters who will claim prophethood. This was the interpretation of the dream. Now, bichara, if we have to see two gold bangles came in our hand, we say, oh, wow, what a dream I have. Dreams are symbolic. People who understand it, they will be able to explain it. Now imagine two gold bangles come in the hand, you blow on them, the boat fly away. But what is the interpretation? Absolutely nothing to do with gold. Look at the interpretation. That in the lifetime of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there will be two imposters. So one of them was Musaylama, the same Musaylama who Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was speaking to. And the second one was Aswad Anasi. This was the second imposter. So this Aswad Anasi, what happened to him was, when he claimed prophethood, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Hazrat Fairuz Daylami radiallahu ta'ala with a few other Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to go and confront this Aswad Anasi who had claimed prophethood. In this confrontation, Aswad Anasi was killed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on his deathbed. He was on his deathbed when he received the news that Aswad Anasi has been dispatched to Jahannam. Right? It is mentioned that while Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on, you know, in the last day of his Mubarak life, right, this group returned. And Hazrat Abdul Rahman radiallahu an, he recited in poetry form, the meaning of which is, I take an oath on my life that the tribe of Ans became terrified on the killing of Aswad. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded that go and kill him, giving glad tidings to a beautiful promise and good fortune. A few riders amongst us set out to kill him, thus fulfilling the command and the instruction of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it was mentioned in poetry form in Arabic. Hazrat Urwa states that Aswad Anasi was killed one day before the demise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? This is one view. Right? And another view is that he was killed. The message came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the same day that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. Right? Now, some state that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed via wahi. And on the day when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, before he passed away, he informed the people that Aswad Anasi has been killed. And later on, after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away, this group returned and they informed the people that they killed Aswad Anasi. Ji. Khair. So that was the dream of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this Aswad Anasi was killed in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Musaylama Kazzab, he was killed during the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. It is mentioned that in 10 AH, Musaylama Kazzab wrote a letter to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So see how he words the letter. He says, Mim Musaylama Rasulullah ila Muhammad Rasulillah. So from Musaylama, who is a messenger of Allah, to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Muhammad, who is also a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amma ba'd, fa'inni qad ashraktu ma'aka fil amr. He says, I have partnered with you in this matter now. We are partners. In the prophethood, we have got shares now. We are partners. Wa inna lana nisful ard wa li Quraysh nisfuha. For us will be half of the earth. And the Quraysh, they will have the other half. Walakin Qurayshan la yunassifun. He said, but the Quraysh, they're not just people. They're not fair. Wassalam. Right. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies to this letter. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam writes, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Mim Muhammad Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ila Musaylamat al-Kazzab. From Muhammad, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Musaylama, the big liar. That's why we call him Musaylama Kazzab. Musaylama, the imposter. Right? Nabi Sassaram gave him that name. Amma ba'd. Fassalamu ala manittaba al huda. May peace be on those who follow guidance. Those who follow the guidance that Allah Pak sent down, peace be upon them. Fa innal arda lillah. The land belongs to Allah. Not lana nisful ard wa li Quraysh. The land belongs to Allah. Fa innal arda lillah. Yurithuha may yasha'u min ibadi. Allah Ta'ala causes to inherit this land whomsoever He wills from His bandas. Whoever Allah Ta'ala wills from His bandas to inherit this land, they will inherit this land. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. But the good end result, this will be for those who adopt a life of taqwa. Good end result will be for those who adopt a life of taqwa. Now there is a very important lesson here also to learn. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't just overlook this letter of Musaylama. Well, this fellow is just talking nonsense, just leave it one side. No. Because if he did that, it would have been like a tacit approval. Musaylama would have had a proof. See, I sent this message to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I called myself a messenger. He didn't make inkar of this. He didn't refute this. If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just ignored it. So it is very, very important sometimes, especially when we are a part of something, that we don't just ignore when a wrong is spoken or written or done. Because if we just ignore it, then it's like, it's fine. We have approved of it. We must show our disapproval. Something wrong is being perpetrated, we must show our disapproval. We mustn't just leave it. G. And especially for those who are muqtada, those who are followed, people who are ulama, imams of masajid, teachers in institutes, etc., have to be more careful when it comes to this. Sometimes people say that, no, why create a problem? For example, now, sometimes you go to the Qabristan. Now, if at the Qabristan they're having janaza salah, right? Now, after janaza salah, somebody starts making some dua and all that, which is khilaf sunnat, goes against the sunnat. There's no such thing that after janaza namaz you must turn around, say, right, break yourself al-fatiha. Which hadith mentions that? There's no hadith to say break yourself al-fatiha and start making one dua now. It's khilaf sunnat, it's wrong. Now if a person is an ustad, a person is an imam, a person is somebody who is followed. Now if he says, no, I don't want to cause a problem here now, and then I'll just stand here with them. Just now they'll be finished and I'll walk out. Right? But other people who are in the congregation, they don't know whether this action is right or wrong. They don't know whether this action is right or wrong. So they're going to look at you. Well, Morana stood for it. Morana stood for it, so it's okay. A person must stand for what he believes is haq, what is right. You don't have to fight with anybody, but just as they want you to respect their view and what they are doing, we're not fighting with them, we're not going to tell them, I stop doing this thing here now. We don't have that authority. They expect us to respect what they are doing. Mustn't fight with them. So like that, they must respect your walking out. If you don't agree with that, what they are doing, so they must respect. If they want you to respect them in the wrong that they are doing, so they must respect you in the right that you are doing. There is no bang people's faces. Deen is deen. Something that is being done that goes against, and people are starting to regard this thing as a sunnat and all that, then we have to voice what is wrong. The other practice, I see lot of people, when you're picking up the janaza, after janaza namaz is finished, you know. So now you're picking up the janaza now to go and bury. Kadima shahadat. But we're not going in war anyway. You're picking up the janaza. Kadima shahadat. There's not a place to be reading Karima Shahadat there when you're picking up the talqeen you make before the person passes away. The man passed away now, right? He's in a kabar now. He's passed away. Now what talqeen you making now? Now, lot of people, good people, they actually think, you know, this is what you're supposed to be doing. But everybody's saying Karima Shahadat. So now next time when they come for janaza, when they're picking up today, they to sing Karima Shahadat and they're going. They're thinking it's right because everybody is doing it and nobody is putting a stop to it. Right? Then also, when we're lowering the body into the qabr, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Mazrid bismillahi wa ala millati rasulillah. But at that point also I'm hearing, Karima shahadat. That's not a place for Karima Shahadat. That time we're supposed to be reading Bismillahi wa ala millati Rasulillah. When we're lowering the body into the qabr. Bismillahi wa ala millati Rasulillah. Then when we're putting the sand, we're supposed to be saying Minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has left for us teachings with regards to what we're supposed to say, where we're supposed to say, how we're supposed to say. So we must learn these things, and if we know it, then we must educate. We must educate. We can't just allow this. Somebody is saying something wrong. Everybody just follows like sheep. And then we also just follow suit and keep quiet because no, we don't cause a problem here with anybody. It's unfortunate that those who are doing wrong are bold in the wrong that they're doing. And those that are following sunnah, then we suffer from a complex problem. It shouldn't be that way. You don't have to fight and argue with anybody. But at least abstain from the wrong that is being done. Abstain from the wrong that is being done. Because these things are then taken to be like it is part and parcel of the sunnah, it has to be done. Ji. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't just leave it. He wrote back to this person and he made sure he classified him as a liar also. Classified him as a liar and made very clear with him that I don't agree with what you are saying. So nobody can tomorrow come and say that no. But Musaylama sent a letter to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted the letter. He didn't tell Musaylama anything. You know, on last week Saturday, I think it was, Maulana Arshad Madni sahab, Naamul Barakatu, he gave a bayan in Center Masjid. I'm not saying, I keep thinking, I don't know why. Mountain Rise Masjid. In fact, I went away to Center Masjid also for the bayan. I entered the masjid, then I'm seeing a poster there saying Mountain Rise Masjid. I don't know why I'm thinking. Now too I'm saying Center Masjid. It's Mountain Rise Masjid. So, after the majlis was over, he was meeting everybody. People came to meet him. And he's walking out. So, one brother came to meet him. And the person didn't have a shari length beard. And the person behind him had a shari length beard. So he caught this person and he told him, in Urdu he's telling him, keep your beard like this. Keep your beard like this. In a loving way, in a nice way. One day, in the Haram Sharif, Makkah Mukarrama, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was coming out, and some people had just reached, some people from South Africa, that they may have just made Umrah the night before or whatever, and now Zohar time, Hazrat is coming out of the Haram, and these people were walking, so they met Hazrat. So this person came to make salam, and he's so happy he met Hazrat, and he came to make salam. So Hazrat grabbed hold of his face. He said, come now, you hear now, start throwing this thing now. So they didn't shy away from speaking what was the truth, in a nice way, with hikmat, they didn't shy away from speaking what was the truth. But obviously your tone, the tone will have to be in accordance with the level of the wrong. Now here Nabi Kareem sallallahu, this man is, he's claiming prophethood, which is not a small thing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't answer now with some flowery words. He gives him danda shikan jawab, you know, proper hiding, you know, good, strong answer. Ji. Khair, we'll move on. The next delegation was the delegation of Tai. The delegation from this tribe comprised 15 delegates. Their leader was Zaid al-Khail. His name was Zaid al-Khail. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented Islam to them. All of them readily and gladly accepted Islam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then changed the leader's name. He said, no more you are Zaid al-Khail. Now your name is Zaid al-Khair. Khair means good. No more your name is Zaid al-Khair. Now your name is Zaid al-Khair. So he changed his name to Zaid al-Khair. And he said to him, of all the Arabs whose praises I heard, I found them to be less than the praises that were showered on them. However, you are an exception to this. Told Zaid. So all the, normally people praise the Arabs with a lot of exaggeration. But when you see them, then you find that this person is not as he has been praised. Besides you. Besides you. Ji. Then came the delegation of Kindah. Not Ilaf al-Kindah. Maybe same family owns it, I don't know. Ilaf al-Kindah, I don't know if it's still existing or they broke it down. So many buildings, they broke down. But there was one hotel, the Ilaf al-Kindah in Makkah Mukarramah. Ji. So Kindah is the name of a tribe from Yemen. A delegation of 80 of them came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in 10 AH. Their leader was Ash'ath ibn Qais radiallahu an. When they came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were wearing like jubbas, you know, jubbas, but these jubbas were bordered with silk. Now here again, we learn the same lesson. Their jubbas were bordered with silk. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, are you not Muslims? Now, we will say, what this got to do with a person being a Muslim? There's only the outer. It's only the outer. Iman is in the heart. But learn from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking them? He said, aren't you people Muslims? So they replied, that definitely we are certainly Muslims. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, then what is the silk around your necks? Well, silk is not allowed for them, for Muslim men to wear. What is the silk doing around your necks? They immediately took off these garments and threw them away. Now there is the fiqhi masala that if a person is at war and whatever, how much of silk is allowed? You see, silk is a material that's very slippery material. So in war it's good to wear it, because the arrow will slip off it, doesn't penetrate it. The arrow doesn't have too much of force. Obviously close range is different. If the arrow is from far and is coming, it hits the silk, it will slip off, it doesn't penetrate it. So they used to like to wear in war. Now those are all different fiqhi masail, and how much is allowed, how much not allowed, etc. It's about 4 fingers width. But that's to do with fiqh. But under normal circumstances, a man shouldn't be wearing silk, gold and silk. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's prohibited for the men of my ummah. So these people came, they are a delegation. Came. There's no diplomacy. There's no diplomacy when it comes to things that are impermissible. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately brought it to their attention. When I talk about diplomacy, I'm talking about this political diplomacy that our Arab leaders are adopting today. Political diplomacy. And unfortunately, some of our own leaders are also adopting this political diplomacy. That if it is our belief now that we can't be posing in pictures with women and all that, but now because these people came and now we don't want to upset the apple cart, so we also just pose, take out a picture with ladies next to us. Political diplomacy. We go for a program somewhere and now they got video camera. So now we're already here now, having a program. Now what are we going to do now? Never mind, we just keep quiet. We didn't ask them to put the video camera here. We just keep quiet and carry on with the program. No, there's no political diplomacy. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib, Da'an Barakatuhu, Allah Ta'ala keep his saya over us for a long time. Allow us to benefit from him. He went to one country, another country abroad. He was invited for a jalsa. He was supposed to be the guest speaker in the jalsa. Everything advertised, posters out, everything. Whole majma is gathered there, came for the his jalsa. When he goes there, he sees they got video camera. So he told him, look, either you'll remove the video camera or get another speaker. But I won't speak with the video camera there. So they told him, now this whole thing has already been arranged and we finished paying these people, now we can't get rid of them now. He said, well then, sorry, get another speaker. He went away. Get yourself another speaker. He went away. This is haq. You don't shake on your principles. Now, if you sitting in a majma and you're giving a bayan and somebody secretly takes out their phone and they video you, you don't know about it. It's not your fault. Now that person takes a clip, put it on YouTube or put it wherever, and people start talking that this Maulana is against photography, but there's his video clip on YouTube. That's between him and Allah. He knows he didn't do it intentionally. He didn't even know the person was videoing him. What I'm talking about is where it is intentional. You can see the video cameras and whatever. So taking courage from the actions of our akabirin. We got no strength in us, but taking courage from the actions of our akabirin. Once I had to perform a nikah in another masjid where they allow this video camera thing and all that. I didn't know the video camera. I went, nikah register is in front of me, and I started to read the khutbah. And I don't know what made me turn this side. The whole majma is here, so something caught my eye in the side. So I turned this side, I see one fellow here, he got a big camera, video camera, you know, he's pointing. And so I asked him, what you doing? He said, no, I'm videoing. I said, who told you must video? He said, no, the grooms, they called me here. I said, what you videoing me? I didn't call you here. So what you putting video? I said, put your video camera off, boy. Turn it around from here. I don't need your video here. So we have to be firm. We have to be firm on what is haq. Otherwise, what will happen? Slowly, slowly, like an iceberg, you know, the water chips it away until there's nothing left. Or the whole shape of it changes. This is what is happening to deen today. I keep telling you this. Turn the clock back. Things that were totally impermissible. We all knew it to be impermissible. Even those who were indulging in it were indulging knowing it's wrong. Those who were indulging in it, they indulge knowing it's wrong. And today all of a sudden it became permissible. How it became permissible? Which Shariat changed? How did it all of a sudden become permissible today? We cannot allow for this. Something that's wrong is wrong. It remains wrong. If people don't like us because we're saying it's wrong, then no problem. That's fine. We're not here to make everybody like us. If something is wrong, we must be able to say it is wrong. Jee. So this delegation of Kinda came and they were wearing the silk. Immediately Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam pointed it out to them and they went immediately and they removed it. And then came the delegation of the Ash'ariyin. Now we may not be able to read this whole thing of the Ash'ariyin today. But, you know, some time back I mentioned to you in one of the programs that this deen of ours, Allah Ta'ala says that Allah Pak will guide those whom He wishes to guide. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali explained that also those people who desire guidance, Allah Ta'ala will guide them. So I explained to you that this deen, so much of Allah's nusrat. Sometime you're looking for something, looking for a certain masala. You ask the ulama, they will tell you. They're looking for a certain hadith. They got a certain topic in their mind they want to speak about. They remember doing this one hadith in madrasa now. And just can't remember where I can find this hadith. Right? And the person will pick up one newsletter. Some newsletter came from some Darul Uloom or something. He opens the newsletter, hey, they quoted the hadith here. You open another kitab, maybe you got one kitab on your shelf, you open for some other reason. Hey, that Quran Sharif ayat I'm looking for is here. Allah's system, Allah Pak works like this. Right? Now our gap year students are here, so I want them to witness this thing firsthand. That's why I'm talking about this. Right? See, this morning in the class, now you people don't know, they know what happened in the class, if they were awake and listening. No, they're normally awake and they're listening. In the class, I was explaining to them that when it comes to what type of Muslim we are, so we are Sunni Muslim. We are not Shia Muslim. We are Sunni Muslim. Right? Then, when it comes to fiqh, what madhab do we follow? So either a person is a Hanafi, is a Shafi'i, is a Maliki, or is a Hanbali. One of these four mazahib, all are accepted, but you have to choose one and follow one. Right? Now normally all of us know this up to here. But now when it comes to Aqidah, when it comes to Aqaid, so here also, amongst the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, there are two main schools when it comes to Aqidah. So generally, Ahnaf, we are Maturidi. When it comes to our Aqidah, we follow Maturidi school. Like how you say we follow Hanafi, but you don't have to worry about it too much. And I wouldn't have even mentioned this, but because of this, I'm mentioning it. Right? I want to show you how Allah's Nusrat is in this deen. When a person is seeking knowledge, how Allah's help comes. So in the class, one of our brothers who's here with us from UK, so he asked the question. He said, Moana, what is the other school? And I told him there's two schools. Right? So what's the other school? Now I can't get the name of the other school. It's not coming now, the name of the other school. So I told him, so at that time I'm thinking, part of knowledge is I don't know. Part of knowledge is I don't know. So I told him, you know what, I don't know. I can't get this thing now, I don't know it. Right? But in my mind, I'm thinking now, I must check it up. Right? Let's check up why I can't get this name. What is the second school? So after Asr Salah, I opened the kitab. Not to look for that. Just to go over what we're going to be reading tonight. What we're going to be reading tonight, I opened the kitab. So I went over this, and the next delegation that we're going to discuss is a delegation of the Ash'ariyin. Right? Now from this delegation, right, Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala was from this delegation. And this particular people from Yemen, so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentioned, Al-Imanu Yamaniyun, Wal-Hikmatu Yamaniyun. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam praised the people of Yemen a lot. So they got very soft hearts. They're very, very ready to accept haq, accept what is true. Now these Yemeni people, Ash'ari tribe, they always wanted to understand with regards to the principles of Aqidah. And when they came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also, this is what they asked. Explain to us properly now, principles of Aqidah. So from this tribe, Ash'ariyin, you get this school, Ash'ari school. How you get Maturidi? This is the second one, the Ash'ari. So I didn't think I'm going to find it here. I didn't open the kitab to look for that, to answer that question. I opened the kitab to go over what we're going to be reading tonight. But this thing came here. So now, then when I read this Ash'ariyin, then I'm thinking, hey, that's the second school. But I said, now I must double check it. So I went to Maha Shakir and told him, the two schools in Aqidah that we accept, Ahlus Sunnah, what are those two? One is Maturidi, other one is... So he also told me, no, it is Ash'ari. So I said, no, it's double checked now. But this is what I was trying to explain to you. The Nusrat in Allah's Deen, when you're serving Allah's Deen, in any way, people who are in Tabligh, you speak to them, they will give you so many different incidents. People in Tasawwuf, Ulama, anyone, anybody who's doing Allah's work, Masjid work, whatever, person is doing Allah's work, Allah's Nusrat will be with him. Allah's help will be with him. And you see, to get married also is Allah's work. It's a sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes a person be very worried, how am I going to get married, how am I going to look after a wife, how am I going to do this, how am I going to do that. After he gets married, everything just falls into place. Everything just takes place. How it happens? Allah's nusrat is there with him. Allah's help is there with him. So in any dini work, Allah's nusrat is always there. See, those two brothers passed away yesterday. They were out in Jamaat in an accident. The one person, his father was gone overseas, out in Jamaat. 4 months, I think. Four months is out for the father. And the son was out locally for 10 days. So some brother joined them. Must have joined them for Gersh program, whatever. So after everything was finished, so the Amir Sahab of the Jamaat and this brother, they both went to drop that person off by his house and come back. So they're returning, met in an accident, both of them passed away. Now imagine, out in the path of Allah, and you get moot like that. In an accident also, accident itself also is shahadat maut, and then you're out in the path of Allah also. These are all qabile rashk deaths. Deaths that you are envious of. People out in the path of Allah, shahadat maut. Qabile rashk maut. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, one day, there was one brother, I don't know whether Hazrat said he's Iraqi or from some Arab country, and he had made tawaf. He was still in his ihram, right? He made his umrah tawaf, and I think he came to read his two rakats, and just there he just expired, passed him on the mataf. When Hazrat came back, you're speaking about this a lot. Said, that's a qabile rashk maut. Qabile rashk maut. Person made his umrah tawaf, came, reached two rakats, and he just in ihram, still in the state of ihram, passed away, finished on the mataf. He was saying, Zakabir Rashk Mot. He didn't know at that time. He too will pass away on the mata. Bless us all with Mot upon Iman. Keep us steadfast on our Iman. Protect us. When it comes to our Iman, comes to this deen, always adopt the root of Ihtiyat. What is the root of Ihtiyat? Always be on the safe side. Don't play Russian roulette. You see, what must I tell you now? Let's take medical aid, right? For example, just take one example, medical aid. All along we knew it's not permissible. The young people, they may not know, but I'm talking about the older people. All along, every mufti, there was no question about it. Nobody would send a question to a mufti to ask him, is medical aid permissible? Everyone knew, old world knew, is not permissible. Finish, period, stop, full stop, finish, not permissible. Khalas. So people stayed away, and those who were doing it, they were doing it and they knew it's wrong. Right? Now, we got fatwa of permissibility. Right? But we still got those muftis who are saying not permissible. Some muftis are saying permissible, some muftis are saying not permissible. So what must do? Adopt the road of ihtiyat. You see, if you don't take out the medical aid, will anything happen to you? Nothing will happen. If you do take it out, fine, you'll appease your conscience and say that, you know what, no, I've got a fatwa, it's permissible. But in the back of your mind, there'll be a niggling thought that, hey, is it really permissible? I mean, all those years it wasn't permissible. Other muftis are saying not permissible. So this is playing Russian roulette. This is playing Russian roulette, you see. If you don't take it out at all, you out, you're in the clear. You're not in the grey area, you're in the clear. So on the day of Qiyamah, you don't have to worry about this medical aid story. I mean, we've got so many other things to worry about. At least this medical aid story, we won't have to worry about it. Right? But now, those who take out the medical aid, they're either right or wrong. Because the mufti is saying wrong, the mufti is saying right. You know what is Russian roulette? Don't play it. You take a revolver, you put one bullet inside the cylinder, and you spin it. Spin it, close it up, pull the trigger. There's four chances that there's no bullet, but there's one chance there's a bullet. That's the chance you're taking. So I feel these things all are chances we're taking. All these things that are becoming permissible now, they're all chances. We take this photography now. Everybody knew all along, photography is haram, finished. Modi Sahib is coming, but how does he hide the TV? Ramadan, put kafan for the TV. Now you go to a person's house in Ramadan, no, he got his TV on, everything fine. Why? No, I'm watching ITV. I'm watching a Tarawih in Makkah. So he leaves TV on, he's got no problem, he's watching. I'm watching Makkah, Medina live. So it's a grey area, man. Now you say, no, this is not a picture, this is a 3D, and this is a this, and this is a that. By all these years we said, call it a picture. All these years we called it a picture. Even the old people, bichara, in their simplicity, when they were going to drive in, they say, we're going to see a picture. They too were saying, when they're going to drive in, we're going to see picture. So everybody regarded it as a picture. Now all of a sudden the picture became a digital picture. So because it became a digital picture now, it became permissible now. By on the day of Qiyamah, we don't know what's going to be Allah's ruling day. Right? Whether this picture, digital picture, is allowed, not allowed, do we know? Can we say 100%? There are muftis that are saying allowed, there are lot of muftis saying not allowed. So what's the safest thing? Stay out of it. Safest thing is to stay out of it. Stay right out of it. You stay out of it, you got no problem. You're not in the grey area. Why go in the grey area? Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.